Good evening. Want to, on behalf of Franconia Conference and Eastern District Conferences, want to thank all of you for coming this evening to our Regional Youth Ministry Vision Brainstorming Gathering. Long title. Also want to thank especially Tormentin for hosting us and for redirecting traffic so that we could all get here without getting lost. Our objective tonight, my name is Ertel Wigger, by the way, and I'm on the staff of Franconia Conference, and our objective and purpose tonight is to talk together and listen to one another as it relates to our vision for God's picture of what youth ministry should be and look like in our region. And when we talk about our region, we're talking about from Georgia up through Vermont. And Eastern District and Franconia Conference have been in conversation about collaborating in different areas, and we find that this is an opportunity for us to further work in collaborative ways. Want to encourage you to be thinking spiritually, creatively about what that God picture is, and you will have opportunity at your tables for discussion. There will be three questions that we will be asking you to engage in as we go through this evening, and then give you opportunity to share what you're hearing at the table. We also want to thank our listening committee. We've asked some folk to just come and listen so that we could be sure to capture the essence of what we were hearing and sharing. And so we have Angela Moyer from Rock Hill. We have Colleen Wiggum Brockington. I have no idea who she is, but from Norristown New Life. She's my daughter. Also, Sam Claudio from Christ Fellowship. And yeah, thanks, Sam. And Jim Oslin from Blooming Glen. And so we've asked them to listen. They will be moving around during table talk and conversations, gathering information. The conversation, as I said, is a part of an ongoing conversation with Franconia Conference and Eastern District about what it means to work together. In particular, Scott Benner, who serves as the Youth Ministry Leader for Eastern District, and Marlene Frankenfield and I sat down and talked a bit about the vision for youth in our region, as I said earlier. And what we discovered in our conversations, while we have a lot of good programs and a lot of good activities and a lot of interesting and helpful things going on, there really is no clear way that we've articulated how the vision for youth ministry fits into the larger vision for the conferences. And so we want to think together about how would that work and what would be some of the ways to connect. We look at this, in particular from the Franconia Conference standpoint, of thinking about our mission of equipping leaders to empower others to embrace God's mission. We do share in common with Eastern District's interest in that piece and the part of having a value and a priority over the next 2 years of being intercultural, missional, informational. And so that's the kind of context or piece. Those are the pieces in which we'll be looking at and thinking about together tonight. And so, again, feel free to share at your tables. We may be asking you to move around a bit. We do have some young people represented. We ask that folk bring leaders, young leaders from other congregations. So let me just ask, how many people do we have here that would be under 20 years old? Raise your hand. Great. Great. We have a good representation. I'm not going to ask how many people feel under 20. I just want to know how many people are in 20. But it's a good representation. We want to make sure that we do give voice to what they're thinking and how they're feeling about youth ministry. At this point, I want to turn the time over to Jennifer Erickson-Rouse, who is also part of Franconia staff. Following that, both Scott and Marlene will be giving a bit of history as it relates to youth ministry and our conferences. Thank you.
Okay, so as we're thinking about visioning for Eastern District and Franconia conferences, I'm reminded that we're thinking about the future, but the reality is we are a part of a very, 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 very long story. And our story goes back, of course you all know, thousands and thousands of years. So before we start to think about the future, I'd like to review the past a little bit. So in your table groups, I would love for you to talk about scripture texts or Bible stories and or that talk about youth and young people. Now, I'm sure you didn't. Did anybody bring their Bible with them tonight? Ooh, we got a couple. You're not allowed to use them. What I would like you to do is just tell the stories or the scripture to the best of your ability. And if you all think you know the story, then you can leave parts out. If there are people at the table who don't know it, then make sure you tell it. If you don't have the scripture verbatim, it's okay. So go ahead and take about 5 or so minutes to just list as many scriptures or Bible stories that you can think of that talk about young people. And you can define young people however you want. Okay, what did you come up with? You can call them out and I'll repeat them into the mic so it's picked up. What stories did you come up with or what scriptures? None. Elijah.
Esther.
David and Goliath. I'm sorry? Who? Oh, well, I just know him as the kid that fell out of the window because it was a long sermon. It could be right. I'm sorry. Any more? Noah, Jesus in the temple.
Mary.
Paul and Timothy.
The boys that got mauled by the bear for making fun of
Wall Guy. All right, I'm the boy who got mauled by the bear for making fun of Samuel. Ruth. Who? Daniel?
Mm-hmm. Joash and Josiah.
Okay, Abraham and his son Isaac.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
The kid with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Any more?
Cain and Abel.
All right, awesome. So it's really obvious that there's a lot of scripture that talks about young people, right? And there's even more than what we named, I'm sure. So the question that I would like you to talk about in your table groups is, actually it's 3 questions. What can we learn from the scriptures you talked about? When you think about visioning for the future, what can we learn? What do we learn about God? And what do we learn about young people from the scriptures that you talked about? And maybe what do we learn about how God relates to young people? Okay, so what can we learn from these scriptures as we move into this visioning process? We've got about 5 to 7 minutes to talk about it. And we're going to regroup, and I'm going to ask you to share your answers with the bigger room. All right. So what did you learn? What did you learn about God, about young people? What do the scriptures speak into the process that we're about to begin? I'm just going to start at this table, and I'm going to ask you to pass the mic, and Tim's going to write down your answers. If a table says what you said already, then just skip it and say anything new that you thought of, okay?
You said age does not matter to God.
We said that many times young people are mentored by older leaders.
It's not really based about faith. It's more of like your... It's not really based about age, it's more about your faith and like the way you use your faith.
We said that children often represent a symbol of innocence, which is a quality that God would treasure and something that adults can learn from.
I think she's saying that I'm not innocent.
We said that, like, when he calls on you from the very beginning, like when you're young.
Most of the stuff you guys already said, but the one was our faith is only one generation away from dying.
I think we kind of said that at times adults don't seem to give young people a legitimate chance
We just kind of look down on them to begin with.
Many times, people who do great things at early ages will continue later in life. A lot of times, people who do things early in life will continue later in life.
Adults often don't give kids a chance.
So the reality is, young people contributed to the building of our faith. And they didn't wait until they were adults. They did it in the here and now, in the presence of their lives. And so as we think about visioning into the future, let's remember that young people, you guys, are here with us right now. So we don't have to wait. We don't have to think about building the future for all of you. You are here and you are building the future. You are in the present and you can use your gifts right now in the church. And we invite you to do so in this process. So don't hold back.
In order to know where we're going in the future, sometimes we have to look back and see what the history is. So Artel called and asked if we would give a history of Franconi Conference and Eastern District Youth Ministry. And I know what the time of my 12 and a half years have been and what I've done, but to look back and to think about what others have done that have gone before me. So I started with, and the two people that I asked, I emailed Jim Lapp, and he sent me some things from way back in the day, and Randy Keeler, who was also a conference youth minister who's now teaching at Bluffton University. So he sent me some things too, and this is just from Scott and I, our own remembering. Back in the day, there were revival meetings where there was a high percentage of conversions, followed by baptisms of children, mostly between the ages of 11 and 13. And in the 50s and the 60s, there was called a Commission for Christian Education in Mennonite Church in the denomination and also in Franconia Conference, where Richard Detwaller worked in both the denomination and in Franconia Conference. And then there was these like subgroups called secretaries, and they were like there was a secretary of youth and a secretary of camping and aging and family life and Sunday school, and Jim's understanding is that they were all volunteers. Once a year there was a meeting in Chicago where they gathered and they consulted about youth ministry. And in these days there was also something called servanthood work camps, and where they got together and they did service together, young people did. And it's also when the MYF was starting to be formed, the Mennonite Young People Youth Fellowship. In the 40s and into the 60s was this annual Young People's Institute that was held over Labor Day weekend, and it was held at Blooming Glen Mennonite Church. And Noah's over here shaking his head. See, he knows all this stuff. We should have had him do this. It was attended by hundreds of younger people from high school to college age, and it was quite influential, is what Jim Lapp would say, but it faded out in the 60s. In the 50s, Christopher Dock was started by the conference and church leaders as a way to infuse Anabaptist faith into education. And the FMC, Franconia Conference, leaders, church leaders, were very connected to the teaching and the vision of the school. It was often referred to as the three-legged stool, the church, home, and school, for faith formation. Very connected. In 1963, Spruce Lake was founded by folks in the Franconia Mennonite Conference to provide nurturing for faith for children and youth. The MYF, as it began, was this three-part program which included faith, fellowship, and service. And it kind of morphed into programs that included a lot of entertainment. Over the years, there was more entertainment and that emerged. And it was thought that, and this was a comment from Jim Lapp, that it was to compete with the culture. And so there was this shift maybe in some of the ways that we did youth group during that time. In 1976 to 1988, and I'm not sure if these dates are correct, there was a guy named Jesse Glick, was in the position of Franconia Conference Youth Minister. There was a Paul Timothy program, and I'm not sure if he was the one that did that or not.
Richard Detweller
did that. And that was mostly young men. It wasn't, were there young women in it? It was encouraged that congregations would tap young people on the shoulder, and there are some pastors to this day that were a part of that. I think Mike Gerstein, I think Phil Berge was a part of that, and there were different people that emerged from that mentoring of leadership that ended on to becoming church leaders and pastors. Jesse also, he was the conference youth minister when I was a youth. And I remember he led a group to Grand Rapids, Michigan, to the youth convention. And I went to it. I was part of a small church, and my youth leaders didn't go. We just went as a conference. I think he was one of the only adults, and we had a great time. But I remember that's how I got to know Jesse. Randy Keeler was then, and I'm not sure, this is where Scott and I have been talking about, if he was for both Franconia Conference and Eastern District, or it was just Eastern District?
I don't know if there's anybody else that does that, I actually believe it. And some of the EDC stuff would overlap or be a little different as far as camp starting out would be different here, because it's Camp Madeline. I don't know that date off the top of my head. But I believe the YFU stuff, which is our Young People's Union for the Eastern District, would have started in 1928. Wasn't that in your documentation? I believe Meadowland was in the 40s, if I remember right.
1941.
What is it?
1941.
So, and they worked hand in hand. Randy worked with camp, at camp, as well as with the conference, I believe, during this time as well. And Randy worked pretty well with teaming together the EDC and the FMC, and that was part of Randy's personal vision. We had a young adult council that planned events, a youth council that met to plan events about every other month. Randy also helped to coordinate flights for convention trips. He started a bi-monthly newsletter called Youth Notes. He also had a special peace counseling sessions during the Gulf War crisis, and served on the Wilderness Camp Planning Committee, and served on the Chapel Committee for Christopher Dodd.
After Randy's time, Alan Nice Webb came on the scene, and that's when there was a connection with Christopher Dodd, and it was kind of like my position is now with campus pastor and Franconia Conference Youth Minister, and he served 1 year in that role, and then moved to just being Franconia Conference Youth Minister. He moved Youth Ministry, Conference Youth Ministry, more towards resourcing, and at that time, I think the conference vision was more less programming and more about resourcing congregations. He was a part of this, it was a Mennonite Resource Network, MRN, that was started during that time, that was there for a short while, that was part of serving congregations more as contract time, kind of paid for resourcing. He did the monthly gatherings for youth pastors for resourcing and relationships, and leadership retreat at Spruce Lake in November was, that thing was gone for a very long time, probably before Alan was there too. And he organized transportation to youth conventions.
Alan also worked with Greg Stetson, who is still at Springfield Mennonite Church. So Greg took over the EDC stuff for Randy. And Greg worked in that role for, I guess, around 7 years. And he helped coordinate a leadership retreat with Alan Nice-Webb and others as there was transition. Eastern District had a history of also doing a conference-wide winter retreat, having bi-monthly worship nights, depending on the years there. It wasn't always happening. He continued the youth council that would plan events. We also had a volleyball tournament, skate nights, which were run by Deep Run West, but they were continued to make that an all-conference event for us. And we also had a short trip going then as well. So there's some of the past events that only a few are currently happening.
And then it comes to the present, or to the time of my leadership along with Scott. And my position is an 85% time and is shared with Christopher Dock, his campus pastor there. One of the things when I came into the conference was the licensing and credentialing for youth ministers. And there was very few, and I don't know if any were, they were licensed for special ministry. And so one of the things I worked at was getting that switch to just licensing towards ordination, for that to be a time of exploring. And so now there is most of the youth, the paid youth pastors are licensed, and many of them are ordained. One of the things that that moved to then was some seminary courses for youth ministers, some professional development, and one of the things that I discovered was the Princeton Youth Ministry Institute that I had gone to, and what I found there, that there was a deeper theology for youth ministry. There was a theology that wasn't your stereotypical youth pastor. It was the thing that I was kind of reacting against. And I went there, and there was something that was there that was deeper that I learned. And it kind of opened my world to this theology of youth ministry, and it also gave me some role models of some ordained women that were there working in youth ministry. So that was very significant for me and as I led. And there I learned that it wasn't about our goal. Yes, it is about having young people accept Christ, but our goal was not out to save kids. And I think some of the previous things that we did along the way was very much about we wanted to save the kids. And I learned that this was more about relationship, mentoring. It was more about belonging and believing, and that you have to have a sense of belonging before you believe, where I think in the past it was more about believing and then you belonged. The Christian formation, spiritual practices on how we practice faith. It was more about weaving faith through the culture than to teach the young people to be separate from the world. We promoted, and we, one of the things I did, the Christian Peacemaker stuff and conscientious objector information and supports was outdated, and that was one of the things I really worked at as I began early on. I was included in the conference youth ministry staff, which was a way that it brought youth ministry into the core of the conference. It connected it, it gave it value, instead of it being, I was included in the team of conference ministers. I changed what Randy started in Youth Notes and called it Youth Breezes, which was a monthly newsletter. And there was a period of time where I had an assistant that did a lot of the administrative work that freed me up to do more relational things. It only lasted a little bit because of budget funding. Leadership Retreat was a way to resource adults that work with teens and also high school leaders, and Scott and I had always planned that together and teamed together with that, and that was held at Spruce Lake. We've had, at one point there was a vision of a culture of call that I think came out of the AMBS Seminary and also Eastern Mennonite Seminary. It was from Lily Money, and there was programs called Explore and Leap that the conference was part of that. And so we would host these gatherings of culture of call, and congregations would tap young leaders on the shoulders, and we got together and we told stories, and it was a part of calling out young leaders in our congregations. And so we did quite a few of those gatherings. And when this missional buzzword kind of came on the scene, you know, I always kind of, you know, bristled on that and reacted and said, well, you know, what are we all talking about? Because I always thought that youth ministry in itself was missional. The fact that in the Great Commission, it talks about training and discipling to send out. And so every congregation is doing something missional and they are having a youth ministry and doing faith formation and training children and youth all the way up and through. And so it was all part of faith formation being missional. And I felt like I would say that a lot in meetings and not always felt like that was the right answer. There was something else that was missional that I wasn't getting. Passing on the faith that we did with the Mennonite schools. The Mennonite schools had the GPS 2012 vision. It was the three schools, Pettyview, Christopher Dock, and Quakertown. And Sharon Franson and Mary Benner and I worked on a piece of, it was three circles, which comes back to kind of that three-legged stool of the home, church, and school working together and doing resource and saying if one of these components is missing, how do we pick up and do connect in faith formation with the other component? So that was a significant project. The junior high lock-in, a year after I started, I thought, wow, we don't have anything for junior high, and Christopher Dock was gracious to host it on their facility, and Scott and I would plan that with a team of youth pastors, and we'd average about 325 sixth graders and little youth leaders there all night long, and it was a big event. We did regional teaming together with Eastern District, Atlantic Coast Conference, Lancaster, and Franconia to resource youth leaders. And in November of last year, we messed with the Sacred Cow, which was a leadership retreat that was gone for years and years, and we moved it to the city, and we had this urban-suburban youth leadership event that we started, and it was brand new, and we had it at Philadelphia Mennonite High School. I think there's some modifications we can make, but I'm sure hoping that we can continue to do this urban-suburban connection and connect it to leadership. I think that's all I have. There's a whole other thing about the denomination and the youth ministry of how we connect in with our denomination. And we are very much a part of connecting in as Youth Ministry Council, which is a group of youth pastors that get together, conference youth ministers once a year, and that we are then resourced to know what the denomination does. One of the things I want to say about that is that a while ago in MCUSA, there was a Yahtzee report, a guy that did a consulting. He went out and he interviewed people. And I guess the youth ministers were very, very disappointed. When I got that report, I got a copy of it, and I'm going through it trying to find what does it say about youth ministry, and youth ministry was at the very end, and it was not alphabetical. And it was about that many sentences, and it talked about really doing away with paid staff youth ministry, because then you could bring youth ministry into the core of the congregation and the vision, because everybody would think about youth ministry then. And I'm not sure that, I think they kind of missed the point. And finding out that none of the conference youth ministers were interviewed, and so we weren't sure where they got the information. So that was one significant piece, I think, that was very disappointing in the youth ministry. Do you have anything else to?
I would just say, as far as the Youth Ministry Council for the Mennonite Church USA, it is a great spot for folks in our position to be resourced with the publishers and others so that we could bring it back, and hopefully you may not always know where we were getting our information from, but even with convention serving as liaisons, let you know what would be happening, how it would be happening, and how we could help you if you needed help. So, I think some of those events that I had mentioned earlier for the Eastern District, my role is a volunteer position, and since then, we've done away with most of the events and have melded it down to just maintaining a short trip that we do in September and a volleyball tournament that we hold in the spring, which we added dodgeball to this year. But we continue to talk about what are future possibilities, perhaps disc golf and a few other things as well. So.
For the tables, you have a sheet this color. And want to give you some time now to talk together about what your God picture for youth ministry within our region it looked like. And you've got some history about a lot of good things we've been doing and working at. But take some time together and talk about that. And then we want to give you time to respond from your table. And we'll be taking some notes, and then we'll give you another question to work at. But what is your God picture for youth ministry within our region as it as we think of it from, again, Georgia up through Vermont? One of the God pictures for youth ministry within our region is a youth ministry team. So it will indeed be more than one person who will be working with our conferences at youth ministry. So raise your hand if you're ready to speak, and Scott has a mic, he'll come to your table and you can give your input. Also, be sure if something's been said that you plan to say, you don't need to say it again, just say something new if you have it, or different.
Okay, well, I know you said to try to use one-word answers, but we came up with a lot of good things that I think aren't going to be said by a lot of people. But first, we said to really bring in the kids from the community, because they're also going to be, there are the kids that are going to bring it to the people that they know. So we really need to include them. We do need to grow in leadership, but I think we also shouldn't forget about the people that maybe aren't skilled in leadership. That we really need to make sure that the youth group as a whole works together, and that they, because once the youth group is a whole, then they'll be able to, I think, be stronger. And so that's important. Let's see. Also, I think I think youth group is basically not only youth leaders, helping youth to grow, but I think it's also youth themselves taking action and using their voice. So I think those are two very important things. Also, we said prayer is a really big part of it. Prayer groups, even if they don't know the kids, that just the fact that people are praying is really going to make a difference. And also, it needs to be a home away from home. Because a lot of kids have broken families, and this is a place where they can turn to. And one last thing is, we need to show them how fun church is, because when we bring kids from the community, basically to attract them, we need to be like, guys, this is what it is like to be a Christian. God created fun. He's like basically the coolest person around, and we need to show them what that is. And what it means to be a Christian, and when they see that, I think they'll be ready to take the next step and see, what do I do, since I want to be close to God, because out of this love, what do I do? And then we can preach to them and show them what steps they can take.
One of the things we wrote down was wanting multicultural relationships, since the region is so large, from Georgia to Vermont, just that we have relationships not just in one area, but the whole region throughout, whether they're from the south all the way to Georgia or up north in Vermont. So I think that was one big thing.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Our table wants to see conference support for mentoring programs and congregations. A number of congregations have them, but we wanted to see conference support. We wanted to see events within the conference which bring youth together across congregations quarterly or more. We'd like to see conference help to facilitate urban-suburban ties. And we liked the November event in Philadelphia, and we'd like to see more people in congregations involved, maybe even have a student leadership committee to plan it. We'd like maybe even a regional convention in Philadelphia, and perhaps have the conference plan service trips across congregations.
Thank you.
Our group suggested that the church take more of a what did Jesus do instead of a what would Jesus do approach, model our behavior off of Jesus' actions, and then building off of that outreach into the community, using culture to draw the youth in and connecting culture to what we believe in the Bible. Our group said that the youth need to feel like they belong first before they will want to believe in the church and in what the church teaches. So we need to give them that sense of belonging to draw them in and to bring them into the church family. We also said youth doing ministry and being a part of ministry, as was earlier stated, is very important, and that they need to be involved in all aspects of the church. And finally, we said that building relationships within the conference itself is important to build relationships with the youth in the area.
Solving the cultural differences, not just geographic, but also social boundaries. What does that look like within a church? To have familiarity across congregations for the long-term ministry of Kingdom Unity. Basically, what is our church is going to look like 20 years from now when all the congregational chairs are used to each other because they all hung out with each other when they were kids? Also, equipping lay ministers and the laity that are youth sponsors in churches, and how are we supporting them and giving them the ability to see other church ministries so they can see some other hands-on activity that's going on?
We said to encourage more resourcing and education for youth to look at their talents and make sure that those are being included in the church as a whole and being used completely and fully.
Our group specifically talked about churches in our own conference and individual congregations knowing, like MYF groups, knowing each other better, getting more comfortable with each other, and then reaching out to other congregations in our conference, getting more comfortable with other MYF groups, so we can build a stronger conference, know each other better, and maybe start more events that went on before. Like, I've been part of MYF for 4 years now, and the only events I've gone to was the retreat to Spruce Lake and like the couch derby. But it sounds like you had great events like playing volleyball and getting together, like talking and fellowshipping and what was that? Service and faith. Like, it seems like the faith aspect has gone somewhat downhill. Mm-hmm. Sharing overall within our conference, it seems like since we are Mennonites, we are more into fellowship. But it seems like we're not comfortable enough to share our faith across our conference. And I think we need to strengthen that. So the other conferences can do so as well. And then we can start reaching out into like the community or suburban area.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, thank you. And Scott's going to take us through the next piece, where we want you to have conversation about what excites you and what the challenges are for youth ministry.
And we also want to have you talk about what can we do as conferences to support your ministries, things that you're already doing. What can we do on our end? Is there somebody prepared to share their findings? Again, we're looking at what excites you about what, and what are your current challenges with youth ministry within your congregation and community context? And then our added question was, what can we as a conference be doing to support your congregations and your ministries? And if you didn't get to that question, that's fine. I guess we'll just start over here with our table up front, and we'll work our way around.
Okay.
One challenge we found was that it's really hard to schedule because youth these days have so many more activities, and church is not the center of those activities, so it's a little bit harder to schedule things and have everyone be able to attend. Something that was exciting, though, was social networking that can allow connections to be made and that immediate contact, whereas instead of making a phone call that they might not be there, you can just send a text or things like that. But another challenge as a pastor that was brought up was you have to know who to contact whether they would be better to call or to text or to email, who checks their email, who can't text because they don't have a cell phone. So that was a challenge as well.
Okay, great. Thank you for the feedback there. We said as far as excitement is when youth start to take control more in the church, and because sort of like that unpredictability is like you have the set way of doing things with leaders, and then youth do something and it's like something completely different, and also building relationships within the youth ministry rather than just you preach stuff but you make friends with the people that you're teaching this stuff to, and it sinks in more, I think. And then challenges overcoming people's like perceptions of what church is from the outside. It's like might be completely different than what it actually is. And then different points of spiritual walks, sort of like people are at different spots all over the youth ministry and sort of incorporating like everything. And so generalization, but still like encourage the people that are at one point and then people that are ready to take that next step, just sort of like that diversity. Okay. Pat, did your group get a chance, and I forgot to ask the first table, did either of your groups get a chance to talk about how we can support your youth ministries at your tables?
No.
No? Okay. Great.
We said one thing that like excited us was the service trips. We liked that, and the youth leaders thought that the youth was more real and what they said what was on their mind more. One of the challenges was that some of the youth groups may need some mediation or conflict resolution to build the community skills within a youth group. And also another challenge, but something good that some of them have been doing have been building a sense of community, yet the challenge is to still branch out to the local community and to keep that sense of community within your own, but still invite others into that. And also to resource youth mentors was another challenge or goal for us.
And so would it be fair to say that the resourcing aspect might be something we could do as a conference, and perhaps as well as the mediation?
Mm-hmm.
So that those would be two of the things I'm hearing coming out of this group that we could be working on as a conference as mm-hmm. well. All right.
If you've got the green paper, you're elected.
Some of our excitements were growth, using gifts and life of congregation, adults interested in youth and youth interested in adults, and also worship times together. Some of our challenges were community youth mixed with congregational youth, the mentality that there's only one way to do things, the amount of stress that all the youth are under, and also encountering culture. And we had Scott Benner for both an excitement and a challenge.
That hurts. I'm wondering though, can your group say, ignoring your other comment, can you say that as a conference we might be the encouragers to senior pastors to get your youth involved in the bigger picture of the church, worship leading, perhaps encouraging involvement on church boards and committees? Is that something you guys can address?
One of the challenges is parents, especially when they're parents that aren't of the church or have any type of faith background, so you're not getting the reinforcement of your teaching that you're trying to do in the discipling at home. Also, the community culture around you, what some of the social challenges are that are around that usually permeates into your youth ministry. Things that excite us, the future impacts and seeing those. Rod was telling the story of a student that he had in sixth grade in vacation Bible school and seeing him at the whack and roll tournament as a college student this past week, and just they remembered each other and had good connection. More events like this that we're doing right now, having roundtable discussion, having a chance to interact with others. Another excitement is life transformations. Watching a student from young to getting a little older and seeing how they progress in their faith and where God's taking them. And just the fact that we're making a difference in the kingdom, and just the fact that we're out there with the future church and working with these students.
And I think adding to that is that congregations that don't have the resources for paid staff or even have the the numbers in terms of human resources for people just to work at youth ministry, one of the challenges would be how can we partner with those congregations that don't quite have the numbers or infrastructure in order to work at youth ministry, which is another challenge, as well as could be exciting. Are you this?
Yeah, things that are exciting to me. I am excited about this meeting here tonight. I think the more we talk about these things, the more helpful it is. But our group said the supportive actions of the congregation towards youth are exciting to them. And that's true. I mean, they support you financially, and they're excited when our youth are involved. So we are happy about that. Exciting things that were mentioned here is the convention and fall retreat as highlights for youth. Challenges, everybody's mentioned it, putting church as a first priority, you know, balancing the activities, the sports, and all that is a huge challenge. And we made a comment that we need to have discussions about that. What are ways we can start working at that and just not allow that to happen? I don't know what that looks like. And how can the conference be supportive? Just exactly what was just mentioned by Scott and Ertel. You know, Tom Ensign congregation, we don't have paid youth staff. They work all day, hard work. We need meetings scheduled for support and encouragement for them in the evenings, not during the day when they can't make the meetings.
And again, I do want to emphasize and ask you to be in prayer about this team leadership piece, because that is going to be really important that more than one person be involved in giving leadership to youth ministry.
We said that because the conference has become so diverse, both ethnically and culturally, but especially geographically, it can be hard to organize programs that include even churches that may have peach orchards in their backyard. So it can be a challenge to organize programs that include everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Jacob. And we'll transition to our last set of questions then. Okay, Marlene?
Last set of questions. Marlene's going to ask the what's missing question, and she'll give a little bit of info on that, and then we'll have a few closing words, and then we'll be dismissed.
I heard a little bit of what's missing come out, but that's our last question here. What's missing from the past, from what was, to what's missing tonight, just in this process? So talk about that, and I do want to say that since I've been part of leading this, and you want to talk about what's missing in the last, you know, how many years, I will not be offended, so I want you to all be honest. Scott and I talked about this. We're like, we're not going to be offended if there's a huge chunk that was missing that we could have done. So just be honest, and we want to hear it. Thanks. I know many of you are still talking, but we want to be conscious of the time here this evening, and we want to get you out as we promised. So let's start over here. Do you have anything to add? What's missing? What's here? Missing here tonight, or what have we missed in the past?
We just talked about having more roundtable discussions like this, brainstorming and reflecting on what youth ministry is and what it has been and where it's headed. We've also talked about just in hearing kind of the history of the conference and some of the events that were held, there seemed to be a deeper spirituality than what we possess right now as a conference. And there is a clearer invitation to bring people into that deeper spirituality. And then we also talked about more programmatic type culture of call, mentoring, Paul Timothy Project, whatever. There doesn't seem to be a whole lot of that in place in formal ways right now. There's the Explore program out of AMBS, but we're talking about something more local and contextualized for our conference here.
We think that we need to make sure we're not just focusing on how we can get youth involved, but focusing on how we can make youth passionate about Christ and about their church, and then they'll naturally want to become involved after we focus on that.
Mm-hmm. The geographical layout of the conferences, especially from like an Eastern District standpoint, where we're so spread out, yet there's Franconia churches that are right next door to us, so what does that look like to possibly realign or help us to work together geographically? Adding more youth into like a youth council mentality for the conferences. I know that was something in the past. Assisting in transitioning youth to adulthood not only for youth workers, but also for a church. What does it look like for a church to receive a youth after they graduate? And intentionally partnering up churches. What does it look like to create sister, brother churches within our conferences so that we're doing things together and we have each other's back locally?
The persons from the Eastern District churches really appreciate support that they're getting from Franconia Conference leadership and other neighboring churches. They feel like they don't have a lot of resources coming from their own conference. And there was a call for more conference-wide events for youth and also resourcing and training and mentoring of youth leaders that the conference can help. And I think there's a sense that larger churches would have youth pastors that are financially supported and already have a lot of programs going on and maybe aren't looking for more events, but maybe smaller congregations that don't have as large youth groups and don't have as many things happening maybe would appreciate more conference-wide events. So just recognizing that diversity. One thing we didn't talk about, but I would like to add for myself as a pastor, is I really value the concept of having a campus pastor at Christopher Dock. And I think it's important that for our youth who are there, that there's sort of a pastoral presence there. So I just want to give that affirmation. We didn't talk about that, just from me, but I wanted to add that.
I think a big thing that's missing is I think the awareness in like the youth isn't as strong as it should be, because I wasn't really sure what the conference was before Mary invited me. But I think if it was more aware to like the youth in the conference, I think that a lot more would want to like have input in it because they have opinions and they want them to be heard. But I feel like a lot of them have like they don't know where to turn with their ideas. So they kind of keep them in. But I think if they know that the conference is here and they're trying to help, I think that they'll want to voice their opinions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, and I have something real quick to share. I think that the conference would be... I think they were missing the part where like the youth and the conference were like working together more, like literally having people from the conference and youth helping together to like make events. So then the youth can say, like, these are the resources that we would like, and these are the things that we need right now, and kind of, like, updating and that kind of thing would just really help for the conference to work more successfully.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate, again, sincerely, the time you took to come out, and we really want you to understand that we're just gathering information, obviously, to try to get a sense for what you think to help us shape our direction for a vision for our conferences in youth ministry. And so our plan is to give opportunity for folks to speak into what they're thinking as it relates to vision on the website, and then just report what we've heard, and at some point come forward with a more definitive vision for youth ministry for the work between Franconia and Eastern Districts. And so thank you for your time and attention, and for your really, really good input. I want to ask Kendra from Upper Milford to come forward and close with a word of prayer, and then at that point we'll be dismissed.
Lord, I just thank you for bringing us all here together tonight, Lord, and I'd just like to thank you that we can have this roundtable discussion and that we can be together at both of our conferences, Lord. And I know you're working here tonight with us, Lord, and I just thank you that we could be here celebrating your name and working towards your goals for us, Lord. Thank you for keeping us on the right path, and in your name I pray. Amen.